You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. This is part two of Did We Break the End of the World, a story that was first published in Defying Doomsday. Three houses later, Did We Break the End of the World is scrawled across the glass windows on the outside, as well as the kitchen ceiling and along a dingy corridor that smells of mould. Gin wins the challenge in this one. The bathroom cabinet and the bedrooms were scavenged out months ago by the looks of them, but there's a cupboard full of busted hairdryers and remote-controlled cars and crap like that. The batteries are dead, but that doesn't mean they're useless. The water's still on in this neighbourhood, which is a definite bonus. Gin sets up his charger kit on the coffee table, hooking up the solar cell that he always hangs on the back of his pack to the lead-acid battery that he traded with a seriously scary car-scavenging gang. It was worth the terror, because this baby allows him to renovate all kinds of batteries, including his precious zinc Airs that run his hearing aids. It won't work forever. But he's not thinking too hard about the future. Next week, next month, one foot in front of another. There's no way they're going to sleep in any of those bedrooms tonight. Aisha joins him on the couch eventually, sulking over the single strip of aspirin she clawed out from behind a kitchen cupboard. Trade soon, she signs, and he nods in response. They're getting low on food supplies, and Jin's backpack is heavy with the weight of the battery stash he's been building. According to the local graffiti, there's going to be a market next week, two suburbs over. It makes sense for them to make for it. That night, Jin wakes in the darkness, with Aisha's hand on his leg. He scrabbles in his jeans pockets for his hearing aids. Nothing's worse than being deaf in the dark. Her hand is flat and warm near his knee. Every time she hears the sound that must have woken her, she taps against him. When his hearing aids come on, he mostly gets static and his own heartbeat. But by the third tap against his leg, he can hear the noise that goes along with it. There's a scuffling sound beneath them. Possum? This is outer suburbia, with scrubby backyards and nearby bushland, so it's probably a native animal, or maybe even an abandoned pet, a dog or a cat. But Jin can feel the tension in Aisha's fingertips. She doesn't think it's an animal. Most houses in this area don't have basements, but Jin noticed a crawl space when they did their walk around during daylight. There's an access door in the garage, which produced nothing useful. Garages are often a treasure trove for batteries and charging tech, but this one was empty, except for several sets of bare metal shelves. Jin indicates the garage with a tap and a point, and Aisha tracks the movement. Nods. Jin slides the pocket knife out of his sock and the working torch that he saves for emergencies before strapping on his pack and following her out to the garage. Aisha's wearing her pack too. You don't leave the important shit behind, not even if you're only moving from one room to another. She opens the connecting door and steps out ahead of him onto the bare concrete. Then she lurches forward in the darkness and there's a crash that explodes loudly in Jin's head, his ears oversensitive after the day's silence. He snaps on the torch, letting fierce yellow light blaze against the pile of tumbled metal shelves, and his friend, and the struggling figure beneath her. It's a kid. Bigger and maybe a couple of years older than either of them, his face screwed up against the light. What the fuck? The intruder roars, bucking against the tight hold Aisha has on his neck. Jin's been there. It's distressing and uncomfortable. But if the kid's going to keep yelling, he's turning his hearing aids down. All this noise is giving him a headache. Be polite, he says, aware that his diction isn't great. He slurs when he's tired or if he spent too much time in silence, and this is the first time he's switched his hearing aids on all week. She could kill you with her shoe. The kid glares more fiercely at Jin, barely acknowledging Aisha despite the fact that she's on top of him. What's wrong with you? Deaf, Jin says, tipping up the torchlight to show one of the aides, then turning it back into the kid's face. She doesn't speak. I would make a big deal about it. She's kind of mean if you piss her off. How do you... said the kid, half choking now. How do you have stuff that works? Nothing works anymore. Slow, Aisha suggests, with a sign, sliding her free hand over the one still wrapped around the kid's neck. She uses that sign to mean stupid, because the sign that actually means stupid is too blatant. Any hearing person would recognise it, and Aisha's favourite thing about signing is that it's a secret code. Give him a break, Jin replies, the torch jerking as he makes the last sign, the one that means smoko and rest, as well as, did we break the end of the world? Soft heart, she replies, one of her favourite insults for him. It's literally a hand squish movement, followed by pointing at his heart. She uses it more often than she uses his name. Yeah, yeah. You hungry? Jin asks the intruder, lowering the torch so it's not in anyone's eyes. Aisha releases her hold, and the intruder rubs at his neck as if it's painful. I could eat, he mutters. Jin puts the torch beside the couch so it works like a lamp. It's a stupid waste of batteries. But what are they going to do, lie down and sleep until daylight, with this person they don't even know? This is Aisha, he says aloud, simultaneously making the name sign he gave her, a two-handed A, followed by the gesture for knife, because the first time they met, she totally tried to stab him. I'm Jin. His own name sign reminds him of his family, and he hates that, but he demonstrates it anyway. Not that he expects this kid to pick up their fractured version of Auslan, between now and whenever they ditch him, but there are certain polite habits Jin's foster mother taught him that even the end of the world hasn't erased. Their intruder looks at them both, wary as hell. He has dark, lank hair falling in his eyes, wide shoulders under a filthy army jacket, and he looks like he's been sleeping rough instead of house surfing. Billy, he says, after a long pause, blurting it out. What do you do, Billy? Jin asks, handing over a muesli bar from his pack. He hasn't talked so much in ages, but it's not like Aisha is going to play party host. Billy winces as if Jin is talking too loud, too aggressively, which he probably is. He's okay with that. He and Aisha try to be decent allies to other kids when they can, but they have to be careful. Last time Jin was friendly to a cute boy who was nearly as freaked out as this one, he got himself sliced up by a razor blade. Thank fuck for Aisha and her stash of antibacterials, or he might not have survived. What do you mean? Billy asks defensively, shoving his hair out of his face, like he's fed up with them already. Does anyone do anything these days? Oh, shit. Jin didn't see that coming. This kid is grimy, angry at the world, and probably going to try and kill them at some point, but he also has the prettiest eyes Jin has seen in a long time. Enough of that. Better to focus on Billy's mouth instead. Jin needs to learn how he shapes words while the aids are switched on. It'll help later. Scavenging is easier if you specialize, Jin explains. That's how we survive. Food and weapons are what get stripped out of a house first. And it's hard to compete with the alpha kids, the bully gangs. But if you scavenge something special, something maybe no one else thought to collect, it's easier to trade for what you need. Billy's chin goes up. So you want me to trade for this? He hasn't opened the muesli bar, but he's squeezing it between his fingers like you'd have to kill him to get it back. Aisha laughs. It's a jolt of sound. Jin forgets sometimes that she's perfectly capable of making noise. Nah, says Jin. We're not assholes. Eat the damn bar. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.